This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On our Oakwood Hard Jewelers talking text line, he's covered the NFL for a long period of time, did a wonderful job at ESPN. Now he's the Dallas Cowboy insider for WFAA-TV in Dallas, also part of the Doomsday podcast. And if you watched the game yesterday, that Doomsday was almost part two the way their defense played. Ed, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
And you know, you talk about Christian McCaffrey not being active, and Ed knows this. The Dallas Cowgirl cheerleaders, they're always active. That's one thing. That they have their own team. I mean, that's one thing. I don't think any fan base are against the Dallas Cowgirls, you know, that cheerleading squad.
You know, all right, Ed, I'll let you take it after that.
You might be against Dallas.
Bobby, I'll do anything for a guy I covered in the old United States Football League. You're not going to draw me into any of that.
Well, Ed, I was surprised, boy, to go hostile territory. You're on the road against the Cleveland Browns, number one defense last year.
The score was no indication of the dominance of that game by the Cowboys.
And Deshaun Watson, I mean, Dak Prescott's living up to his contract. And I think he will do that going forward. Deshaun Watson stealing money. I mean, what's up with that cat? But I look at Dallas where they're at right now, and kind of like the Saints, but we would be, I guess, lesser of Dallas where we're under the radar from a national perspective. But until Dallas does something in the playoffs, they might say, okay, whatever they do in the regular season, we got to see it in the postseason. That's just the way we treat Dallas right now, considering when you go three straight seasons and you win 12 games, they want to wait and see what you could do in the postseason.
Yeah, they've won 12 games 3 years in a row. Mike McCarthy is the only coach to do that in Dallas. And, of course, as you suggested, they've had no success in the postseason. They have been 1-3 under Mike McCarthy, who was hired as a former Super Bowl winning coach in Green Bay by a team in Dallas that believes they were still in their Super Bowl window. But despite all of the regular season success, it has not manifested itself in the postseason. In fact, they've lost two of their three last three home playoff games without ever even leading. And last year, you know, they were the only undefeated team in the NFL at home. They're matched up against the Green Bay Packers in Jordan Love's first postseason appearance, the youngest football team to make the playoffs, and the Cowboys get down 27-0 and never really compete. The season ends and created all kinds of speculation about Mike McCarthy, who's now working on the final year of his contract. They got Dak Prescott's contract resolved yesterday, about 3 hours before kickoff. But Mike McCarthy and almost all of his coaching staff, including Mike Zimmer, the defensive coordinator, are in the final year of their deals.
And, Ed, explain to me, because you look at Jerry Jones, he's going to do what he wants to do. But I guess it's to be relevant, 12 months out of the year. But why the timing? I'm looking at 2 weeks prior to Prescott, that all of a sudden you give CeeDee Lamb a 4-year contract, $136 million, and then basically, like you said, the day of the game, 4 years, $240 million for Dak Prescott. Is that just to get the headlines, or what is that approach that Jerry Jones doing when you have those significant contracts like you had with CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott?
Well, they've been very good, Bobby, at drafting and developing players, and I think they're capable of identifying their foundational players. They just have not been proactive in terms of securing long-term contracts with these players early enough to get them at below market prices. And, that Ezekiel Elliott held out on and became the highest paid running back in football. A couple of years ago, Zach Martin held out last training camp, and now CeeDee Lamb holds out. And the market was really set once Justin Jefferson signed. They should have gotten that deal done sooner. The Dak Prescott deal, I think, you know, he had all the leverage. He endured two franchise tags, which the Cowboys have never applied to any other quarterback in their history. Came in as a fourth-round pick, won right away, replacing Tony Romo when he was injured, and has been the starting quarterback going on now his ninth season. And it just doesn't make sense. And Stephen Jones would admit that they should have gotten the first Dak Prescott deal done a year sooner than they did, and they might never have put themselves in the position they did, which was when they went into this negotiation, arguably no player in the history of the NFL has had more leverage against the team than Prescott had, because he was in a position where he could walk away and they couldn't stop him. He had a no tag, no franchise tag, no trade clause. So the Cowboys faced the possibility going into yesterday's game of this being the last of, you know, he's going to make 17 starts and then he's going to leave if he wants for a better offer. And there was nothing the Joneses could do to keep him there. So they wisely gave him this record-setting contract to make sure that he remained in Dallas.
Now, Ed, what is your take on this? Because these are household names. You look, okay, what are you doing defensively? Because everyone follows the football. But you look from a defensive perspective with Dallas. When you look like Dan Quinn and now Mike Zimmer, my understanding, they can return their traditional 4-3 defense. And I'm a Mike Zimmer fan. And I think he'll help him be better against the run, because that's where I think Dallas at times got gashed when you look at that compared to maybe what Dan Quinn was willing to do. Just elaborate on that. What do you think they brought to the table, like Dan Quinn versus Mike Zimmer? They both know what they're doing, but I think under Mike Zimmer, Dallas might play the run a little better, obviously.
Yeah. Dan Quinn took over a defense that was historically bad under Mike Nolan, who was fired after one season as Mike McCarthy's first defensive coordinator. And Dan Quinn turned this into a defense that, you know, was a pressure defense, created a lot of turnovers, led the NFL in defensive touchdowns and takeaways over the three-year period. But once they lost Leighton Van Der Esch at linebacker last year, he was confident or content to fill in with, you know, safeties playing linebacker. They got awfully small physically, and that made them susceptible to the run game, which was exposed by Green Bay in the playoffs, by the 49ers in the regulars, by Buffalo in the regular season. And so once Dan Quinn left to become the head coach of the Washington Commanders, you know, the Cowboys went with somebody that was familiar both to Cowboys ownership. You know, Mike Zimmer spent a lot of time in Dallas working with Bill Parcells. In fact, Mike McCarthy's the fifth head coach he's worked for. He also has familiarity with Mike McCarthy because he coached against him when he was at Minnesota. McCarthy was at Green Bay. And when McCarthy's a play caller, he likes to have on the defensive side of the ball a former head coach, and Zimmer provides that. And you're right, the absolute thing they want to accomplish is they want to be better stopping the run. Yesterday, they were surprised Cleveland didn't run the ball more at them. They didn't have their starting tackles. They didn't have their Nick Chubb, their running back. But the Cowboys still expected to be tested more in the run game than they were. Maybe New Orleans will do it. New Orleans plays the San Francisco scheme, and that was really a problem for Dan Quinn, and Mike Zimmer's handled that scheme better. So we'll see how that goes on Sunday.
You know, Ed, before we let you run, I mean, this is domination. I'm looking at halftime. You're on the road. The Browns trailed by 17 points. They just had one first down, and they were outgained 216 to 54 yards. That was shocking.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Deshaun Watson, when he was with the Texans, he was one of the best young quarterbacks in football. In fact, I think you could make a fair argument. You know, when they were winning division titles, he led the NFL in passing. He's one of the top five quarterbacks in football. And then, you know, he had the situation that resulted in him being suspended and ultimately traded for far too much, and he's produced far too little. He's only made 13 starts in 2 years, two-plus years now for the Browns, and he just doesn't look physically like the same player.
No, he doesn't look like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
No. Ed, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Listen, I got to tell you, we've enjoyed your work for so many years. Man, you were a champ and not only covering the Cowboys, but the entire NFL, and they're going to miss you not being there.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the game with you, and willing to do so anytime you need me. Just let me know.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate it. Edward, so many years covering the National Football League with ESPN. Now he's with WFAA out in Dallas. Also, he has the Doomsday podcast.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.